For me, I feel a huge obligation to make sure that this experience meets or surpasses all of their expectations, because it is, this is a make-a-wish. This is something that, you know, this is not like you're just going to a movie or something like that. This is their wish, and this is a child who's been presented with incredible challenges, and you have an obligation to make them be able to forget every struggle they had, if only for a couple of hours. So for me, it's a huge privilege. It's a huge obligation, but at the end of the day, it's a priceless experience for me. And I say this over and over again, as much as these WISH kids may say, oh my gosh, that was one of the greatest experiences of my life. The parents will say, oh, I can't thank you enough. It's I who can't thank them enough.
Welcome to The World of WISHes, the podcast that brings you inspiring stories of hope, resilience, and the extraordinary impact of Make-A-Wish in Southern Florida. I'm your host, Richard Kelly, and today's episode is truly special for two big reasons. First, this conversation features a South Florida icon, a Zoo Miami legend, and one of Make-A-Wish's most extraordinary ambassadors, Ron McGill. And second, this episode marks the finale of season one of World of WISHes. For decades, Ron McGill has helped create unforgettable WISHes for children from around the world, bringing awe, wonder, and joy through the incredible power of animals. In this conversation, Ron shares his remarkable journey from a kid inspired by zoo visits in New York City to becoming a global voice for wildlife. And he reflects on what it truly means to make a lasting difference in the life of a child. This episode is about animals, yes, but even more so, it's about connection, compassion, and the moments that stay with WISH families forever. This is Zoo Miami's Ron McGill, where wildlife meets WISHes, and a perfect way to close out an unforgettable first season of World of WISHes. One of our most anticipated guests on World of WISHes is South Florida legend and Make-A-Wish legend, Ron McGill. Ron, welcome.
Thank you so much. It's such a privilege to be here. Having seen this building for the first time, I am absolutely blown away by the magic that surrounds this building.
We appreciate the ambassador you are for us and the supporter you are, and we'll get into all the WISHes in a second, but just give us kind of your bio. You know, we know you're a legend at Zoo Miami, you're a legend in Miami, and but what's, you know, you've been in zoo for you know, 4.5 decades.
Yeah.
And so what is your kind of role there?
You know, I'm now the communications director. I'm kind of like the face of the zoo, and so, for lack of a better term, they call me Goodwill Ambassador for the right. zoo. But I started as a zookeeper back at the old Crandon Park Zoo in Key Biscayne over 45 years ago, and kind of worked my way up, lead keeper, senior keeper, zoological supervisor, assistant curator, and then this director of communications, Goodwill Ambassador. And that's something that evolved in me because I grew up in a small apartment, New York City, immigrant parents. You know, I dreamed of animals. But back then, I tell the kids today, they're so lucky they have this plethora of programming. You got Discovery Network, Animal Planet, you know, National Geographic Channel. When I was a kid, people who are old enough might remember, there's one show. It was Sunday night, 7:30, right before The Wonderful World of Disney. It was Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom. Right. I watched that show. That was like going to church for me, okay? Mm-hmm. And then my mom would bring me to the Bronx Zoo. Yeah. And I remember the impact going to the zoo had. And that's why I understand the value of the zoo and the impact it can have. Because when you look at a live animal eye to eye, there's a connection that happens there. There's something, and it happened to me. It planted a seed in me that just, you know, grew into this tree of passion that I have for animals. I always knew I wanted to work with animals, wanted to help animals. At first, I thought I wanted to be a veterinarian, but my chemistry wasn't sharp enough for that.
Right.
And I realized I wasn't going to get into vet school. So I came up with a plan B. And basically working with wildlife, my goal has always been to protect wildlife in the wild. You know, I didn't come to work at the zoo so long ago to work for an attraction. I wanted to work for an organization that was doing something to make sure that animals can survive in the wild. Right. And that's been my passion, working for conservation and educating, working with other kids. You know, I think about myself as growing up in a small apartment in New York City. Gosh, what a privilege it was to go to the zoo and see these animals and make that connection. I had some great teachers that really were great interpreters for me in interpreting wildlife and those things. So that's what brought me to this point. And then I was just really lucky. I've just been in the right place at the right time, surrounded by great people who really inspired me and guided me onto becoming a spokesperson. And granted, it was a lot easier for me back then, because I'll be honest with you, people who worked with animals back then worked with animals because they didn't really want to work with people.
Right.
You know, they would tend to be introverted. They were nervous in public speaking. Mm-hmm. And that was something, thanks to my parents, I never had an issue with.
Right. And you're also a world-class photographer.
I'm a lucky photographer. You know, okay. I took up photography as a need. I was writing papers to have published in different publications about my work with conservation. And they said, well, listen, Ron, you got to have some pictures to go with this. And I said, no, I'll get you some pictures. And I would call the stock agencies, you know, Getty, places like that. Right. So I need a picture of a cheetah chasing a gazelle. And oh, here it is. Oh, beautiful. How much is that? They told me how much it was. I went, what? I can't afford that. I'm a zookeeper.
Right.
I said, let me buy a camera. And I just started teaching myself. And that was out of necessity. And then I started entering some contests just to kind of fine-tune my skills. And then I started winning some of these contests. And then all of a sudden, you know, it got to the point where Nikon called me and said, listen, we'd like you to be one of our founding ambassadors for the product. And gosh, you know, I'm one of those kids who grew up with that song, Paul Simon, Kodachrome, you know, right. Me and my Nikon camera. I said, my God, Nikon wants to sponsor me as an ambassador.
Yeah.
And that just opened a lot of doors. Listen, for me, short of being able to take someone by the hand to the places I've been able to go around the world, you know, photography is my greatest tool in trying to teach people about wildlife and try to get them connected and inspired. Yeah. So I'm very thankful to photography.
For sure. Let's talk about your affiliation with Make-A-Wish and your relation to Wish Kids and what you've done for us. And, you know, so when we get a Wish identified to go to any zoo around the world, South Florida is one of the first places that Make-A-Wish comes because they know of the kind of wish that Ron McGill is going to produce. And so let's talk about those wishes. You know, you get sometimes the children just want to come to the zoo, and sometimes they want to be a zookeeper or something very general. And sometimes they have very specific wish. They want to meet a sloth. They want to meet a gator. Or they want to meet a turtle or something. But talk about what happens in you when you get that email, you get that request, and it's like, you know, this child's coming from Wisconsin or Kansas or wherever to come to Zoo Miami.
For me, I feel a huge obligation to make sure that this experience meets or surpasses all of their expectations, because this is a Make-A-Wish. This is something that, you know, this is not like you're just going to a movie or something like that. This is their wish, and this is a child who's been presented with incredible challenges, and you have an obligation to make them be able to forget every struggle they had, if only for a couple of hours. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's a huge privilege. It's a huge obligation, but at the end of the day, it's a priceless experience for me. And I say this over and over again, as much as these Wish Kids may say, oh my gosh, that was one of the greatest experiences of my life. The parents will say, oh, I can't thank you enough. It's I mm-hmm. who can't thank them enough. Yeah. Because there's that old saying that it says that it's much better to give than to receive. Mm-hmm. And I can't think of any better example than helping to provide a wish for a Wish Kid.
Right.
It gives you a whole different perspective on life. I have photographs of me with Wish Kids in my office mm-hmm. that I, you know, if I'm having a bad day for whatever reason, I look at those photographs and I'm reminded of how incredibly lucky I am, not just to be where I am, but to have the opportunity to connect to these kids. Yeah. You know, in your life, again, there's that old saying that says at the end of the day, it doesn't matter the size of the house you live in, the kind of car you drive, how much money you have in your bank account, but that you can make the difference in the life of a child. Mm-hmm. Make-A-Wish is the epitome of that opportunity. Right. It's the best possible opportunity you can have to make a difference in the life of a child. Mm-hmm. You know, short of being the doctor who's going to save that child's life, short of being the parent who is there to nurture that child day in and day out, you have a unique opportunity to make a permanent, indelible, positive imprint on a kid that'll hopefully inspire them moving forward.
Yeah. And, you know, I've been fortunate to be a participator at a lot of those wishes, and you bring that legendary energy of yours. So take us into what kind of day you build for these kids, because it's different for each child, but there's a lot of the same tenets, because there are a lot of your favorite animals that are there, and this kind of things you get them to do is just amazing.
You know, and I don't think it's even what I get them to do. I think it's what animals get them to do.
Yeah.
You know, animals have an authenticity to them. Mm-hmm. They don't lie. They're not fake. They're not mean. They're just genuine.
Right.
And I know, because when I was a kid, and this is on a totally different perspective, but I was bullied a lot as a kid. I was bullied an awful lot. As a Hispanic who only spoke Spanish in the beginning when I went to school, they called me all kinds of names. And I remember in New York City that there was a squirrel that would come down out of a tree and would eat out of my hand. And that squirrel came and he ate out of my hand, and he would stand next to me and just continue to eat. And the squirrel didn't call me any names. The squirrel didn't judge me. The squirrel was, I really thought the squirrel was my friend. I would do that with pigeons. Pigeons would kind of fly. And they didn't judge me, you know, when I was, at the time when I was being called all these horrible names.
Right.
Animals brought out something in me. I understood there was an authenticity to them. And I see that with a lot of the kids. Even when they meet me, when they first come to the zoo, oh, there's this big, tall guy, and they're kind of quiet and withdrawn. And the parents almost apologize. They say, listen, yeah, you know, he's nervous. He's had a rough day. I said, relax. It's going to be okay.
Yeah.
And once they get up on a platform and you have a giraffe stick out a 16-foot tongue, and the kid all of a sudden just goes, oh, and just this eruption, that's where the pricelessness of an animal comes about.
Right.
And you know, my job is to connect people with animals, but especially children.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always amazed at what animals can do, whether it be a wild giraffe on a platform at the zoo or, you know, a therapy horse. I work sometimes with autistic children, with therapy animals, and you see how they can change around animals.
Right.
So that's mm-hmm. the beauty of animals. I'm not here to say that any animal is more important than a person, but I'm here to say that it's the animals that make my job not a job at all.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just a conduit to
right.
make that connection. It's the animals at the zoo, and I see how it can totally enlighten a kid. A kid turns on like a light bulb all of a sudden, you know, and they can get in with a 500-pound, 130-year-old tortoise and scratch his neck, and he just sits there looking like E.T., you know, and the kid's able to touch and feel and make that connection.
Right.
I mean, one of my favorite pictures is with a young lady there. I'll never forget. She was like 4 or 5 years old. She dressed up like a zookeeper, had my name on her thing. It was just beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And when she was with me on that turtle, it's a picture, she just went into this eruptive laugh that, you know, those infectious laughs that you cannot help but hear it and start laughing yourself. It's just the surge of happiness you feel.
Right.
Because this young lady, who her mother had told me had just gone through a horrible treatment, painful, couldn't sleep for a couple of nights, everything was gone.
Mm-hmm.
Everything was gone. And it's just, you cannot put a value on that. You cannot put a price tag on that. It really has very little to do with me and everything to do with those animals.
Yeah. I've asked you before when we've been together at the Wishes about the animals and what they may sense in the children. And, you know, children, some of these children are vulnerable in vulnerable medical states. What do you sense that animals sense about that? Because they have this innate ability to sense vulnerability or anything that, you know, anything in human beings or other animals.
You know, and this is, of course, just my personal opinion. I don't profess to be some super expert or scientist. I haven't done any extensive research. But I can tell you that I see animals' behaviors change depending on who they're around.
Yeah.
And there are certain animals that seem to understand a child. There's certain animals that seem to understand someone who may not be physically very strong at the time.
Mm-hmm.
We see that, I think, people who have just pet dogs at home. Your dog will sense when you're sick.
Right.
Okay, a dog will come next to you, put his head on your lap, and just kind of look at you. And there's a sense, you'll feel better just from that alone.
Mm-hmm.
Wild animals are not exempt from that.
Right.
I have seen that in certain animals, that they seem to understand, you know, this is special, to be more gentle. They seem to understand the need to provide something that's soothing. Animals never cease to amaze me.
Mm-hmm.
This is why I have been such an advocate for animals and wildlife in general, because I see the difference they make in everybody's life if just given the opportunity. You know, one of the biggest challenges I have is trying to dispel all these myths and misconceptions. People tend to demonize animals in the media. You know, we have a shark encounter. All of a sudden, shark attack. All sharks are bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, until you've been as lucky as me to swim with sharks and see how beautiful these animals are swimming in the ocean without any harm, you know, a bear, you know, now almost, if you see a bear, you're going to die. No, I've seen bears all the time, and they've never had a problem with them. People just need to understand wildlife and understand that wildlife doesn't have malice in it. You want to be respectful. You want to be safe. But my job is to connect people. And this opportunity with Make-A-Wish, when I see a young lady, you know, with a smile from ear to ear, feeding a giraffe or with a tortoise or looking at the chimps and all lit up, you, again, anybody who's a parent, you can't put a price tag on that. That's something that's so valuable, so impactful. And I think indelible. I think those kids remember that for the rest of their lives.
Yeah. We did. Before we started recording, we did talk about parents and what you see in them when, you know, you see the child and we focus on the child. We're taking pictures of the child and the child's front and center. But in the background, there's the parents. And what do you see in that?
I tell you, those are some of the most moving experiences for me, because I'll be with these kids and I'm getting all goofy and stuff with these kids and having fun. And the kid starts to giggle,
mm-hmm.
starts to laugh. And I look back behind me in the golf cart and I see tears coming down the parents' faces. And it's very, very powerful because, you know, afterwards I say, are you okay? Is everything okay? She goes, you know, she hasn't smiled like that since I can remember. I hadn't heard that laugh for such a long time. And again, I don't want to sound like a broken record, but as a parent myself, I know just what she's saying. And I try to put myself in that position and think, gosh, you know, if my kid was going through these challenges, as a parent, I'd give my life. I'd give my life to do anything to make that kid feel better. And to think you could play just a small part in doing that, it's a privilege. It's an honor. You know, I'm always feel kind of guilty when someone from Make-A-Wish thanks me for something I did. When I need to be the one thanking all of you, not just for allowing me the privilege of doing that, but for doing everything that you do every day to provide these incredible experiences for these kids.
Well, we do appreciate what you bring to it because you do bring that legendary energy to it and create these experiences that the parents and the kids and everybody talks about for years and years and years. And that's special to us, and that's what we want to create. That's why we're here at Make-A-Wish, to create these experiences, and you're a valuable part of those wishes, animals, zoo, to meet you or whatever it is.
Well, for me, again, you know, on my bio, when people ask me for my bio, if I have to go to a speaking engagement or whatever, one of the things that's always formally put in my bio is my commitment to Make-A-Wish, because it is such a privilege. You can't put a price tag on these experiences and what you're able to do. So again, I am eternally grateful to everybody at Make-A-Wish for allowing me these privileges.
Yeah, I want to talk about three specific wishes. Two of them are, well, actually all three of them are very important in our chapter's history. One was a wish that you participated in 1997. It was the 2000.
You're aging me now.
Yeah, I was there too. It was the 2000th wish that we granted. And we have recently granted our 15,000th wish, which also happened at Zoo Miami. Wow. And so it's sort of these bookend wishes, girls that are around the same age, but, you know, 28 years apart. You know, do you remember anything about the wish that happened in 97 and
Absolutely.
Then certainly the wish, Gemma's wish, which just recently happened.
The 97 wish, I remember in the beginning, she was very shy. Mm-hmm. She was very shy, but by the end of the day, she was just beside herself. I remember I gave her a little stuffed giraffe, a little plush giraffe. And when she got that giraffe, she just hugged it so hard. You just never forget that kind of experience. You think, gosh, this little plush giraffe has made such an impact. And I got communication from the parent afterwards. Mm-hmm. They're like, long time afterwards, that, you know, that giraffe has never left this girl's side. Right. So these experiences, you just never know. I don't think sometimes, it's hard for me to put the value on it. I don't realize what it's doing, because for me, I'm soaking it in for myself. Selfishly, I'm just thinking to myself, God, Ron, look at this privilege you have to be with this person. But when you get these communications, months, sometimes years later, saying, look where she is now, look what she's doing now. Listen, I've dedicated my life to animals and to wildlife, but there's nothing more important in life itself than the life of a kid. Mm-hmm. Children are the single most valuable, most important element of our lives today on this planet, and you can never invest too much into making their lives better. Mm-hmm. And when you have children who have faced serious challenges and you're able to just enlighten that for just, like I said, a couple of hours, yeah. Oh my gosh, and to see the effect on the parents. So for me, again, I'm sounding so redundant in all I'm saying. Over and over again, I think about these wishes, and I think about years later, and I've got photographs of these kids in my office, right. You know, that have come back years later and say, look, this is what I had my wish. Remember the picture you took with me? And they signed a picture for me. Yeah. These are really special moments.
Yeah. And the parallel from that wish in 97 to the wish we just granted our 15,000th with Gemma, and hers was a cheetah.
Yes,
that she that she does not leave alone. She Gemma and her mom Julie were recently inside of our wish house, and Gemma had the cheetah with her. And,
wow!
And she carries it everywhere with her, remembering that wish experience, which happened months ago. But that's the kind of mark that you've made on them, and these wish experiences leave on these kids.
You know, again, I don't want to keep deflecting. It's not a mark that I made. It's a mark that animals made, and it's a mark that Make-A-Wish makes. Mm-hmm. You all are the people that I'm just doing what I do. But you provide that important conduit to connect these kids to these experiences. Walking through this building today has more than blown me away. I'm not going to give away any of the secrets, but the things that I saw transported me to another world. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what these kids look for. They look, not as much what they look for, because I think they're totally surprised by it, but what they need. Yeah. They need to be removed from that everyday world that they've been facing for however long they've been facing these challenges, and to come into this place, which is literally transporting them to magic. It's magic in this place. I'm still blown away by what I saw.
I appreciate that. I want to ask you about another wish that I know you remember. It was during COVID, and the zoo was closed, and we had a child who wanted to meet you because she saw your online show, and you guys opened up the zoo for her.
Yes.
And you told us that day it was the only time that your facility has been open for a single person ever.
And to this day, it remains the same. We've never opened the zoo just for one person, and we were beyond honored and privileged to do it that day. And again, you know, these are things, gosh, if you had told me when I was a little kid that I would have these opportunities, I would think you were out of your mind. Mm-hmm. I'm living a dream being able to do that kind of stuff. Again, as you get older, if you're lucky enough to get older, you look back and you think about the things you've been able to do. And I can tell you honestly, you know, I could pass away tomorrow and no one should ever shed a tear for me, because the things that I have been able to experience in my life have so exceeded any dreams that I ever had. And none of them have been more valuable than be able to make an impact on these children. Because these children, you know, I look at things, sometimes I might have a bad day or I might get upset at something, and I have these pictures of these children sometimes, I look at it and I'm ashamed of myself. I'm ashamed of myself. I'm like, who are you to complain about what you're complaining about? Right. When you look at these kids who are not complaining about anything, mm-hmm. they're just enjoying what they have. They appreciate everything they have. Listen, I wish everyone could have 5 minutes with a wish kid. If everyone could have 5 minutes with a wish kid, it would make this world a much better place.
It's an amazing privilege, isn't it, to be around the kids and their families, and a blessing. And for what we're able to do for them is also a privilege and a blessing.
And that's what I keep on stating. I mean, that's why, you know, I'll get – Jackie will send me an email. She goes, oh, Ron, you know, we have another wish kid. And she almost feels like guilty asking me. Mm-hmm. I said, Jackie – man, if I'm in town, if I'm here, I'm going to make it happen, because that's a privilege. That's for me. That's like you're saying, hey, yeah, Ron, would you like to come over for a great dinner?
Yeah.
You know, it's on us.
Yeah.
That's a privilege for me. So yeah. As long as I'm at the zoo, I will always bend over backwards to make sure that we make these wishes happen.
When we do a zoo when we do a wish at Zoo Miami, and, you know, so how it works is kind of the family comes and they wait in your lobby, and then, you know, and then they'll call you and say, okay, Ron, the wish family is here. And then the anticipation of you coming down the hallway and bursting into that room with that energy. I'll tell you, you know, I've watched it and I've seen the families and their anticipation of meeting you and their anticipation of this experience. When you walk down that hallway and you know a wish family is waiting for you, what is happening there? What is happening in your mind, in your brain, in your energetic spirit?
Well, I'm anxious. I'm very anxious. I'm a little bit worried sometimes. Okay, I don't want to come on too strong. You know, I'm a fairly tall guy. I'm 6'6". I'm a big guy. Sometimes these are little kids, and if I come in, they go, "Hey, how you doing?" They're like, "Oh, geez, I'm scared. I don't want to scare this kid." So I want to feel it out. You know, as soon as I come in there, I kind of go, "Hey, how you doing?" And if the kid lights up and smiles right away, okay, we're great. We're gonna go. But a lot of times they get really shy and they might hide behind their parents. I say, "Okay, let's let the animals do the work here." So I'll get them in the golf cart. We'll go driving out, and then the animal's what breaks the ice when they can look at something, you know, pet a sloth, you know, feed the giraffe, listen to the chimps, look at the elephants, feed a rhino. Those types of things, those are just impactful things that to this day I don't take for granted. I mean, I've done it all of my life every day, but that's one of the joys of my job, is that I do something that no 2 days are exactly the same, but I never, ever take for granted the privilege of being with some of this wildlife and being in contact. You know, as a kid who grew up in a small apartment in New York City, I never dreamed about exposure to this. You know, I've been fortunate to travel around the world. I set foot on every continent on this planet. I'm still pinching myself that I get the opportunity to do that. Mm-hmm. So that has opened so many doorways for me. One of the most important is being able to connect with Make-A-Wish.
Yeah. Well, and we've talked a lot about you and the role you play in Wishes, and I don't want to miss the role the Zoo Miami plays too.
It is the zoo. It's the animals. It's the zoo. It's, you know, the support staff. When I go and arrange for these special tours, I've got to get with people at different areas. I say, listen, I want to be here then. Make sure that your animals are accessible at this time. Prepare this. Prepare the food, the diets that I have to have ready. It's a whole team. You know, one of the big chips that I carry on my shoulder is I get a lot of credit that I don't deserve. We live in a kind of shallow society. People see you on TV, they hear you on the radio, and they think you must be important. And the reality is, it's the people behind the scenes that you don't see that are really important. You know, I could easily be an anchor on a desk reading a prompter, right, but I'm not writing all of that. I'm not doing all the research. I'm not making sure all the lighting's right. I'm not operating all the cameras. I'm not doing all the editing. These people who make those people look good, right, those are the MVPs, you see? And it's the same thing with me at the zoo, and I say it all the time. People say, oh, God, Ryan, you're doing such a great job at the zoo. I go, no, I talk about the people now that do the great job at the zoo. Mm-hmm. And that's, people need to understand that. It's the people you don't see that are the true MVPs.
And we do appreciate that. We see, you know, when we go around, or when the Wish Kids go around and they see all the different animals and they see the people that are caring for those animals, and you're making the chimpanzees talk and all of that stuff, but we know that people are handling them on a daily basis.
Absolutely. It's because of them that I'm able to do those things.
Yeah, and the people that are driving the golf carts and people that are greeting the kids, and it just takes everybody. It takes all those different touch points, and you're at the center of it, but we do understand and we do appreciate everything that Zoo Miami does for our families and does for, you know, does for our organization.
Again, it's been our privilege. It's been a pleasure. It's an honor. It's one of those things that I will cherish for the rest of my life.
Thank you for being an incredible ambassador for us. We're looking forward to a lot more Wishes. We're looking forward to, you know, whatever the next one is, and coming down to your facility, to Zoo Miami, waiting in your lobby, and then that energy comes around the corner, and then you create this amazing experience that that they'll remember forever.
Again, thank you for giving me the privilege.
Yeah, thank you, Ron. My thanks to Ron McGill, and thank you for listening to this very special episode of World of Wishes, produced by Make-A-Wish Southern Florida. I'm your host, Richard Kelly, with additional marketing support from our talented team of Gabby Patero, Amber Hadar, and Liv Mayram. As we close out season one, I want to thank you for being part of this journey, listening, sharing, and helping amplify the power of a wish. And don't worry, this is just the beginning. Season 2 is right around the corner with more incredible stories, voices, and moments that show just how powerful a wish can be. To learn more about how to refer a child or help grant wishes, visit wish.org/SFLA. For more information about this podcast or to listen to past episodes, visit worldofwishespodcast.org. Until next season, thank you for believing in the power of wishes.